Welcome, everybody. This is Mordechai Plotzker. Tonight's shiur is dedicated as a Rapur Shlema to Zahara Rina, Bas Elisha Vachana. We show me her Basuras Tovos, and she should emerge stronger than ever from all of the things that concern her. Especially, we're learning that she's a burn victim in the ICU at 7 years old. So we have her in mind tonight, and everyone should feel better at the right time. So tonight, I'd like to try to focus on the of Bikurim, as well as the big component within the Parsha of the blessings and, of course, the non-blessings, and to see what we can derive from all of this. Number one is, it seems when you read the language of Arami Ovid Avi Vayera Mitzrayma, this is language, obviously, that we will read again once again in the Haggadah, but we're not there yet. But it seems that this is really difficult for a Kohen to have to listen to all the people saying the same exact thing. And the Kohen, of course, recognizing this by taking in the Bikurim and lifting it and being Makar Tov to all the people that came all the regal. And it seems that the Kohen has to have a great deal of patience, and he does. This is unique about the Kohen. So I like to try to focus on the elements of this Kohen. He has to listen. Every person says the same exact three sentences. And you can actually argue maybe we can have like a Kiddush or a Yotze. You know, this block of 100 people will say, you know, once, and then he'll move on, and then the next 100 people, or 1,000 people, or 10,000 people. Instead, the Kohen is there the whole time and listening each time to each member of Klal Yisrael. And it reminds me a lot of the Karbanos that each of the Shvatim have to bring in Parshas Pinchas. And every Nasi from every Shevet is going to bring the same exact Karban. And the question is, why can't we have one language for all the Karbanos and one language for all the people that come up? Why is it so unique per Shevet, and in this case, per individual? And the answer is that we say that every person goes through life and they all have their own Nisyonos. They all have their own tests. And every one of those tests, every one of those circumstances is challenging for that personal individual. And so when the person comes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you would think that everyone has the same nekuda. Yes, there are some bottom line common denominators that we all are seeking good health, obviously, and we're seeking refuah shleima for those that are in need, and we're seeking that we should have besuros tovos. But since every person comes with their own pekala, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to every single person. And that's also very unique, that our voices are not muted by the fact that we come in a congregation. In fact, Barov HaMachas Melech, the larger the congregation, the easier it is for our tefillos to go ever higher, right before the Kisei HaKavod. So, yes, it is true that the Kohen Gadol has to have tremendous amounts of patience. And it's not the only circumstance of where we involve a Kohen Gadol in something that sounds rather routine. We can have delegates. Doesn't have to actually, the Rishonim actually argue whether it has to be a Kohen Gadol, or whether it's just a Kohen, or whether it's just a Rav, if there's somebody there to receive the Bikurim that are coming up. But if we think about and go back to Parshas Tazria, Mitzora, so there we have a person who speaks Lashon Hara and Motzi Shema, Rechilas, and yet the same circumstance is where that individual who has done something, in that case particularly, incorrect, and he said something wrong, he has to get rectification from the Kohen Gadol. And you would think that somebody who is on such a high level does not have time to ingratiate himself with those that are willfully using their speech in a non-conducive fashion, that they would find another means of expending their precious time doing the sacrifices, obviously working the avodah. But no, it's the Kohen that has to then determine the seis or sapachas or the Adam Demis, or, you know, all the different discoloration of skin. He should rather see a dermatologist. He should see a rokeach, perhaps a pharmacist. He should see a regular internal physician or some other doctor. Why the Kohen? And the answer is because our Yahadus, our Judaism, is so rich and beautiful that we take the one who feels as an outcast because they recognize that they had said something and did something incorrect, and associate that person with someone lofty and great, the highest level, the priest, the high priest, not just any priest. And that person is the one who then has to determine whether or not it is or is not, it's leprosy or it's not leprosy. And if it is leprosy, then similar to the story that we know about Miriam, that person is sent out of the camp for several days, and then after he comes back or she comes back, that person is then reexamined, and when it's known to be clear, then the person is able to re-enter the camp. And all of this sounds a little bit, you know, unusual. Why is it that the person has to leave the camp? And what is the social impact of someone leaving the camp? And the answer is that we learned from Miriam that the Klal Yisrael did not travel those 7 days while Miriam was outside the camp. That means that we love you, and we appreciate, and we want you. And this is why Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying that even when a person does something incorrect, Hashem still loves that person. So Klal Yisrael has to wait. We're not journeying anywhere. We're not going anywhere until we are complete. And in this particular case, Klal Yisrael is journeying, or they're moving toward the Beis HaMikdash, the Shor HaKaras HaTov. And the Midah of HaKaras HaTov is so strong and so great that it moves the Kohen to listen to every single individual. And I travel from so far in order to bring these precious, you know, first fruits up to Yerushalayim so that others can enjoy it, something that I would rather enjoy myself. You know, that there's nothing more enjoyable than picking the first cherry tomatoes off of a tree branch. And anybody who's tried to do that, like me, and then, of course, you have the deer that takes it the night before you plan on picking it. Well, that's, I guess, you know, the the story of people who live in places where there is a lot of deer. They love tomatoes. So the deer took the bikurim in my case. But in times of the Beis HaMikdash, it is something truly enjoyable about picking those first levels of fruit, those first crop, and that first crop, and bringing it up to Yerushalayim and presenting it in front of the Kohen and saying that I went through a lot. There's a lot of history over here. Arami Ovid Avi, Vayeri Mitzrayma, Vayagasham Seimaad, Elisham Gai Gadol, and everything is like, you know, we started with nothing. And we had tremendous torment, and yet despite all this, we are here as a nation, but more specifically as individuals. And when we express ourselves, Klal Yisrael is able to do so on an individual level. And when we bring karbanos, we have the nasi that represents us. And when a person goes through leprosy, you know, lo aleinu, no b'shevet, no from this, we interact with the highest level of society. So this is how we demonstrate the tremendous level of HaKaras HaTov that we have, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is what allows the Kohen temperament to enjoy all of the things that people have to say, even though it is exactly the same exact few sentences. I just wanted to transition the Midah of HaKaras HaTov that a person has to have as we emerge from this week's Parsha. It's not a very easy Parsha to go through, especially right before Yom HaDin, and we're preparing ourselves for Rosh Hashanah, and pretty soon we'll start Slichos. Getting up early, Yaiv Chachma Achkimen, as it says in Daniel, Perek Deis, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, that when we get up in the morning early, we awake in the morning, right? Yichatzos Laila Akum Lahodos Lecha, says David HaMelech, that I don't wait for the morning to come, I create the morning. So while a person's davening, that's when the sun is starting to rise. And that is a tremendous midah that only Klal Yisrael has this unique attribute. Nobody else is getting up as early as us to do this avodah. And we do it willingly with a smile, even though it may be challenging at times. And so when we look at these blessings that we have in the beginning and then the non-blessings, we can understand the Midah of HaKaras HaTov. The Midah of HaKaras HaTov is that we are thankful for all the things that we have and all the things that we do not have. And even within the non-blessings, we see that a lot of it has to do with actions that are done in secret. You know, someone who is Masik Gvul Re'ehu, that's something that obviously happens in private, right? Nobody knows a person's moving a stick over, planting something very delicately on someone else's property, or someone who curses, God forbid, a parent, someone who, all of the language and the horrors are things that happen in secret. And I think that there's a tremendous yisod over here, that a lot of that a person who's doing something like this is doing it so that other people shouldn't recognize. But what's lacking over here is Raka Shalo Avarata B'Simcha V'Tuv Levav, that if a person is able to be appreciative of all the things that he has, he never would come to do those things that he's doing in secret, which is that he has parents, so thank God he's able to bless them, he's able to honor them, he's able to provide food to them, he's able to feed them and clothe them and walk with them, and if they have wounds, bandage those wounds and try to make them smile and cheer them up. A person would never be at the point where they would be cursing a parent, God forbid. If a person has a property, right? So we say that, thank God a person has property, and the Torah tells us, Kisidna Bayas Chadash, you have a property. Then you have to build a fence around your property, right? To appreciate what Hashem is, right? The Gagecha, as we explained, the Kedusha slavery brings down, is Gimel Gimel Chav, is 26, right? 3 plus 20. What does it tell you? It tells you that you don't know how to express your gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Gagecha, take the 26 letters that comprise the Jewish alphabet and bring it all together so that it should form the sentences, the words that we are able to then be Makar Tov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so a person would never come to do all those things that a person could derive something from as a non-blessing. And if we are mindful of these things, especially as we enter to the Yom HaNarayim, then it makes us appreciate our parents, it makes us appreciate grandparents, it makes us appreciate our wives, our husbands, children, and the fact that Baruch Hashem, we have so many blessings that we're not able to count. And once we are able to get to that level of not being able to count our blessings, that's when all of the brachas are manifest. So I give each of us the bracha that we should be able to see the bracha in all of the things that we have, to be appreciative of them, and of course, to be appreciative of all the things that we do not have. And in that chus, we should usher in times that are filled with being makar tov, filled with hakaras tov, and we should only know things that make us happy, things that make us smile this year and every year going forward. This is Mordechai Plotz, wishing you the very best, and have a wonderful week.